pretty cool things among us. And it really does connect with listening. The one thing that we learned as we did our study of emotionally healthy spirituality was that it's as you listen and as you still yourself before God that you'll be able to have the maturity to do something that's worthwhile. So this morning we're going to hear from several different people. One of them is my wife, Doris. Before we do that, though, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 107 from the Message. I'm not sure if it's up behind me. If it's not, that's fine. You can just listen and enjoy as I read the Message, from the Message. Oh, thank God, He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. Offer thanksgiving, sacrifices, tell the world what He's done, sing it out. Lift your praises when the people assemble, shout hallelujah when the elders meet. Thank God for His marvelous love. So first up, Doris is going to come and share about her participation in small group.
Morning, everyone. I get really nervous when I have to speak, so please bear with me. Catherine asked me before she left to speak on how small group has been important to me over the last year, and so I'll share a few minutes about that. In the fall, our group met and we discussed the book of Ephesians. We took turns learning from each other. We had some great conversations, and it was good because each person had a unique way of leading. After Christmas, we did a book study on the book, Falling Upward, which talks about the tasks of the two halves of life and to show us that those who have fallen, failed, or have gone down are the only ones who truly understand up. Most of us tend to think of the second half of life as largely about getting old, dealing with health issues, and letting go of life, but the whole thesis of this book is exactly the opposite. What looks like falling down can largely be experienced as falling upward. In fact, it is not a loss, but somehow actually a gain. This book offered a new view of how spiritual growth happens, that loss is often gain. Different ones of us independently read a chapter and then shared our personal insights with the rest of the group. This turned out to be a really, really meaningful time of sharing. For me personally, I was dealing with a lot of issues at once. Some were issues from my childhood, and some were health concerns, and some were issues of rejection that seemed to be buried very low. Everything at the same time started coming up. Sorry. It was a perfect time for me to trust others with hearing of my struggles and benefiting from their care and insights. I had a choice to stay silent or to share through my tears what I was struggling with. It turned out to be a valuable part of my healing process. Not only was I comforted by the Holy Spirit, but I was comforted through the acceptance and care of others. I've always believed that small groups or cell groups or life groups or whatever you're used to calling them are an important part of our life in the church. We are created to live in community. The very essence of God is community, a unique threefold of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I also was recently reading about the Church of Acts and the 12 descriptors of that early church. That early church was devoted to scripture, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. The church was awe-inspiring and generous. The church was part of a community that it was found in. The church was joyous, worshipful, reputable, and growing. Meeting together as a small group seems to me to be such a great way to make a lot of these purposes of the church fulfilled in a simple and honest way. It seems that with church life, the more that we give through involvement, through volunteering, etc., the more that we receive. Back in 2019, when we uprooted our lives and moved from Niagara to Kitchener, our small group became a great way to make spiritually uplifting friendships with an opportunity for growth in a safe environment. In 2001, we also made a big move in our lives. We moved towns, switched schools for our kids, and also changed churches. I started Teachers College that year. Rocco was part of a busy kids band. Kayla was doing competitive gymnastics. To say that life was busy is an understatement. One day, I distinctly remember walking to our car after attending our new church for a few months. A couple approached us and asked if we wanted to be part of their life group. We had every reason to say no. But in reality, there was every reason to say yes. During this busy time, what we needed more than anything was a group of people, a place of refuge, to be ourselves, to share our lives with a trustful group. That group, over the next 20 or so years, had members come and go, but we were able to support each other through crazy things like marriage breakups, sickness, death of parents, etc. When we packed up our house to move to Kitchener in 2019, it was those members who helped us move box by box into a moving truck. It felt symbolic. It felt like their blessing was there to help us move forward. All this to say, I'm very passionate about the value of small groups. And I hope for our gathering church that the fall would bring us to a place of connecting in new and rich ways. There'll be a variety of groups offered at that time. And my hope is that many of us will get connected to a group and that new life and growth will continue. Thanks for listening.
Meredith, Eli, and Hazel are going to come up and share about their involvement in youth. And after that, Jenny Lee, Hudson, and Conrad are going to share how their faith has grown working together as a family to lead our back-to-school clothing distribution.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Hazel, this is my brother Eli, and this is our mom Meredith. Eli and I are part of youth group, and Meredith is a leader. Catherine has invited us to share a little bit about what youth means to us and where we have grown in our faith. In case you are unfamiliar with our youth program, let me give you some highlights. Every Wednesday, we meet at Shantz Mennonite Church from 6 to 8:30 p.m. We start with an open gym time, which often includes stuff like volleyball, pickleball, basketball, and some other tag or running games. After gym time, we head to the youth room and have a snack and an opening question. Opening questions usually involve would you rather questions or discussion questions about our week. Then we focus on some faith development and a lesson and usually end our night with a game.
This past fall, we focused on learning about the fruits of the Spirit, and then starting in January, we started studying the book of Matthew, verse by verse. Something that will stick with me is the lesson on not to worry. This was relatable for me, as it's a pretty big part of my life, whether grades, friends, or parental expectations, health concerns, or family, like or more broad things. I didn't realize the Bible talked about worry, but Kate's lesson on Matthew 6 taught me about it. I also really enjoyed planning the youth service and learning about all the things that are needed to run a Sunday morning. I've developed closer friendships and bonds with fellow youth, and the youth retreat was a great way to start off the year building connections, even if I was the first one to fall asleep.
Youth has given me many friends. At school sometimes, I feel I have to watch what I say, but at youth, everyone is so kind, you don't have to worry about being made fun of. I have a class this year that is very hard, and I would love it if school could be made of my youth friends. I have learned a lot about Jesus' life through studying Matthew. It started with a genealogy and has many references back to the Old Testament. I hadn't made those connections before. I also learned about the miracles that Jesus has performed.
Thanks, Eli and Hazel, for giving us the youth perspective. Catherine asked me to share a bit about youth from a leader's perspective. So let me take you back to where it all began. Rachel Morton was our youth pastor and was instrumental in starting up this little group of our current youth. They were grade 5 students at the and now they're going into grade 10, which is hard to believe. And that what was once 5 youth is now close to 20. So during COVID times, they would meet online, and they gradually started meeting outside at Hidden Acres and then at the Space. In December of 2022, Rachel got a job with MCC, and we blessed her in leaving to begin this new role. This left a huge hole in our youth programming, and in came wise Chris Pott with his new vision for how youth could work at the gathering, at least in the interim. Chris had spoken with some other youth leader volunteers at Shantz Mennonite, and they had shared this model that had worked well for them. The 4 F's, so to speak: food, fellowship, faith, and fun. The idea is that you have multiple adults who are present with the youth each week, and then this allows different relationships to form while also growing leadership from within the youth group. When I was approached to be one of these leaders, I was quite hesitant. Give me babies and toddlers and young kids any day, but teenagers? How could I relate well to these young people? And as a parent of youth in the group, I didn't want to encroach on their time, as I certainly wouldn't have wanted my own parents as part of my youth group experience. Little did I know how much this would be a blessing in my life. Okay, just a moment. I love these youth. I knew this would happen. I love these youth, and I... Okay, just a minute. Thanks, Doris, for starting this off. Okay, I so enjoy getting to know them and being part of... Oh, guys. Okay. I enjoy getting to know them and being part of their weekly lives. They are so... Okay. Oh, man. See, Hazel, you had nothing to worry about. Okay. Oh, let's start again. They are so fun, kind, creative, smart, and funny. The list goes on and on. As a parent, too, it is neat to get to see a window into seeing my kids developing these friendships, too, and seeing a different side of them. And don't get me started on how great it is to work with the other leaders. As we spend each week together, I am so thankful for Chris, Terry, and Kate, and the friendships and getting to experience youth with them. We are all very different individuals and approach leading in different ways, but I think that's what makes this approach work so well. And of course, when the youth ask a question that stumps you, it is nice to look around and have three other people to rely on. Hopefully there are seeds being planted and certain styles that will work better than others for each individual youth. I've made it sound like this is all roses, but there has been a thorn. Teaching. Oh, teaching. 75% of us don't love it when it's our turn to lead the lesson. But on weeks when I'm leading, while it is stressful and I spend way too much time on my lesson, trying to make it relatable and meaningful, we've had Jeopardy, videos, some Greek language lessons, geography lessons of Israel. Some work better than others. Occasionally my own kids will say, well, this week was only a 6 out of 10, Mom. Thanks, guys. God has used these opportunities to grow my own faith as I study and go and do a deep dive. Q, we'll see if this works. kidding. We're going to try that again. Deep dive. Yay! That's from last night's pool party. So as I study and do a deep dive into the topic of the week, God has used these opportunities to grow my own faith. So some of my weeks have included baptism, the Sermon on the Mount, and miracles. And while I've often felt out of my league to be teaching on many of these subjects, God has been so faithful to calm my nerves, remind me that he is the one in control, and therefore I can trust him that I am doing my part of planting seeds and caring for these youth, but that the onus doesn't have to be on me. And I will remember what I have learned as I continue my own faith journey. And when I look back, wouldn't you know, those weeks of teaching and leading weren't actually thorns. God, you are so good. Sorry. Last year, I started letting each youth pick their birthday snack on the week closest to their birthday, and it's fun to see what they choose and that we can all celebrate together. Food is, after all, part of the formula for a good night. I enjoy listening to the laughter and spontaneity of Wednesday evenings and then watching the youth on a Sunday morning, especially after we have had a social evening together, like last night. You can see friendships deepening, and I can't say enough great things about these youth. Any opportunity I get to see them work alongside each other, whether for a youth service or a chili dinner, I am filled with joy and hope for this next generation. On those Sundays specifically, it's been so encouraging to see you, the Gathering Church, investing and supporting the youth. I would encourage you to continue getting to know these amazing young people, and thank you for entrusting me to them. Entrusting them to me on a weekly basis. Whew. Thank you.
It's like, are we going 3 for 3 here? Good morning. I'm Jenny Lee, and these are my youngest two boys.
I'm Hudson.
I'm Conrad.
We've been asked to share about the annual back-to-school clothing drive. On Sunday, August 18th, we, the Gathering Church, will spend the morning together filling gift bags with clothing and delivering them to the families in our community. I recruit my boys to help with a lot of the prep work. Together, we fold, we sort, and we count clothing. Hudson and Conrad would like to share some of the ways they help, what they like about this event, and why they want to participate.
For the back-to-school clothing drive, I help make the labels for the boxes and help sort the clothes into the boxes. My favorite part is choosing clothes for the packages on Sunday mornings. It's nice to do this for people who might not be able to buy their own clothes.
I help fold clothes and count them for Mom. I also organize the boxes. I like doing this with my family because this is helpful for others, which is why I like participating on the Sunday morning. Mom also says I have to.
Thanks. Yeah, sometimes they don't always have a choice. They're voluntold more than volunteered. The back-to-school clothing drive all came about when I approached Catherine 2 years ago with the idea of providing new and gently used back-to-school clothing for families in our Chandler-Mowat neighborhood. It was the spring of 2022. We were at the end of the COVID pandemic, and inflation was on the rise. Everyone was experiencing the financial impact of these two events, and I knew that some families would be struggling more than others. I invited you, the congregation, to participate in donating outgrown, gently used clothing and to consider purchasing new clothing items or to contribute a financial donation to make this possible. I had no real expectations, but I had a lot of hope, and your response was overwhelming, and we are preparing for our third annual drive. Each year since, God has been present and reminds me of his faithfulness through this project and through you. There have been many potential obstacles in the planning, preparing, and delivering of this project, and yet here we are, getting ready for another year. There was no budget for clothing that first year, yet through your generosity and by inviting others to join us, we were able to gift each child registered with 4 to 6 clothing items, many of those brand new, tags still on. Before our first distribution day was over, I was hearing comments and questions about next year. And now for a third year, you continue to approve a budget line for this event, to donate clothing items, and to share your eagerness about spending another Sunday morning selecting clothes and packaging them for our community children. And the community eagerly anticipates this clothing. We included registration forms in our Snack Attack packages 2 weeks ago, and within 30 minutes, we had 13 families return their forms. This clothing meets a real need within the community, and the stories of thanks and joy and hope that come from the recipients of our clothing packages are an encouragement to continue in our mission of making Jesus real to people, inviting them to follow. We might hit three here. Most importantly for me, I see God at work in my boys, molding them into compassionate and generous young men. This project allows me to catch little glimpses of this. Conrad enjoys joining me for in-store shopping, and I quickly learned that he's very generous with other people's money. His "but mommies" remind me to be generous myself. "But mommy, people need more than 4 clothes," referring to our goal of a minimum of 4 items per child. "But mommy, this one is on sale," acknowledging my love of a good deal. And while sweet, also seems slightly manipulative, knowing that I will give in. Last year, we received a few registrations after our Sunday of packing. One boy indicated that he liked soccer, but we had no soccer shirts left. Hudson went into his own drawer and offered one of his 2 soccer shirts or t-shirts with a soccer ball on it. And this year for my birthday, all 4 of my boys raided their own wallets to give me money to donate to a project of my choice. And I want to say that all of our children here at the gathering see the significance of this outreach project and have come to recognize it as part of who we are. A few Sundays ago, the children shared their banner of what makes the gathering church special. It was meaningful to see the number of times that the clothing drive was mentioned. It's wonderful to see how much they feel involved in this project. I invite all of you to remember Sunday, August 18th, as our third annual back-to-school clothing distribution day. I hope to see you all there.
Before we close out the meeting with singing and a benediction, now for something completely and totally unscripted. Literally, a few minutes ago, I asked Claire if he would join me and he's going to come on up, about talking about Snack Attack. And you know, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to make eye contact. You know who you are. If you're part of Snack Attack and you'd like to come on up, you're welcome to join us, okay? I'm just going to ask several questions and we're going to have a conversation. Is anyone else coming up? I don't want to look. You're very welcome to. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Kate, Marlene, and Claire, thank you for joining me up here. So the 3 questions, and you're welcome to grab the mic and jump in and pass the mic. So the questions I'd like to ask are, why do you do Snack Attack? Question number 2. If someone were to ask you, I'd like to do Snack Attack, but I'm a little nervous about what do you do? How do you have a conversation with a 12-year-old getting off a bus and you hand them a snack? What do you say? So they're like uncertain. What do you say to them? And what's a favorite memory from the past year?
Go ahead, start. Go ahead.
I can start as you're trying to gather your thoughts, because this literally is just like, these two have no idea that this is happening, and Claire's had 6 minutes warning. So a favorite memory of mine was just quite simply arriving on my first September snack attack this past September 2023, I guess it was, yeah. And so we have these two twins that have been doing it for their 40-hour community service for their high school diploma. And they graduated. We gave them a send-off. We blessed them. We took pictures. So here they are, and they're gone. But they show up. They were there. They didn't need to be there, but they were there. And that, to me, that was just so special that they decided just to be there. And I'm like, okay, they're just there to say hi, how you doing? No, every week they show up just because they want to hang out with us. So that's humbling and pretty special.
Actually, that was one of the comments I was going to make as well. These two young men, they will come and just want to be there. And they would talk my ear off. It's talking about school, something they've seen on the internet, talking about soccer this past week. And the joy is to see them. I said, okay, guys, we got a group coming here. And the conversation stops, and they're talking with the kids. And immediately when there's sort of a quiet moment, they're back saying, and, Claire, do you know about this? Do you ever see it? And again, the relationship there. And now their younger sister is helping out. And she's going into grade 12. She'll be back next year and helping out. That connectedness with community is one of the joys. The other positive for me is just seeing a whole lot of people. Like the last week, Jenny Lee was here and had set up her annual book giveaway. And to see the kids arriving for a snack, and we say, and don't forget, head over to the books, and they go, and they're off. And to see them coming back with a smile on their face, because Jenny had just pulled together this pile of books. And I think each received two books, brand new books. Some of those children probably have never received a new book. And it is just one of those holy moments as we wrapped up the year the other day.
I'll start with the first question. Why do I come out for Snack Attack? And one of the reasons is because when we were looking for a new church to be part of, then this church was involved in the Chandler Mohawk community, and I just love that, and I wouldn't want to be part of a church that isn't involved in the neighboring community or in some aspect in the community. So I thought, okay, I'm here. Now, how am I going to be part of the community? And so coming out to Snack Attack is a way to get to meet people in the community and get to know some of the kids and some of the parents. What was the other question?
What would you say to someone that's nervous about participating?
The kids are just so full of energy, so I don't even think about what I need to say. It's like, how was your day at school? And Catherine's so good at giving us prompts, so before we go out to hand out the snacks, she'll remind us, ask them how their day was at school, and the school is ending for the year, so what are they doing for the summer, and how did your exams go, and all that sort of thing, so she's really good at giving us prompts, and the kids are full of energy and ready to talk, most of them. And it's really interesting to see which ones like to stay behind and talk a little longer to us adults. So there's a few that are really good about that. And I just love, it's so great to be there to hear of the successes that some of them have, to encourage and be proud of, and to support the ones, especially now, that are going off to university and they're nervous about that, or to congratulate the one that got a scholarship. And so exciting. And to see the others graduate from grade 8 to going into grade 9 and that sort of thing.
Yeah, awesome.
I find this hilarious that we are all up here, because Catherine sent out an email and it was crickets. Like, none of us, at least I didn't reply. I don't know if any of them replied. And now here we all are. So, like, I love Snack Attack for the reasons that have all been shared here too, but I also love selfishly that when we get together, we pack the snacks for the first, half hour, I have no concept of how long it takes. The first little while we pack the snacks, And I love getting to work with other gathering members, and we get to know each other more. I always try and find a table with one of them there so I can hang out, because there are other volunteers from House of Friendship as well, too, which is fun to get to know. But selfishly, I love getting to know other people in the gathering in a different context. I think it's kind of cool. So I love that part of it as well. I also think it's super cool. The kids are just so willing to engage. When they get off the bus, they're so willing to tell us a bit about their day. And then those kids that linger, I think is really, really cool, that they'll stay longer. They're just looking to talk, to hang out. Even if they're not talking, they're just kind of hanging out. And I think that's really cool, that it feels like a space that they want to stay and chat for a little longer. Feels really neat. So,
awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, guys. All right, please stand with us if you'd like to and you're able as we sing our last song.
Seems very fitting to sing about the goodness of God, so let's sing about that. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God.
will sing of the goodness of God.
Me? Yes. Just a reminder, we won't be here next week. We extend God's blessing. If you don't have to rush out, please stick around, have a conversation, enjoy a coffee and some refreshments. Let me read a blessing to you. May you know the warmth of God's loving embrace. May you know the joy of God's ever presence. May you know the peace of God's gentle whisper. May you know the strength of God's Spirit within you, this day and always in your life. Amen.